Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, what does a balloon have to do with preventing a heart attack? We'll look at the minimally invasive procedure known as angioplasty with a cardiologist from the Cleveland Clinic and see how blood vessel blockages that once required open heart surgery can now be done on an outpatient basis.
But first, we know what it is to live a good life, but what is a good death? More and more, individuals are choosing the manner of their own passing. For them, the idea of dying at home, surrounded by loved ones, is preferable to dying in a hospital. Ensuring a good death is what the hospice movement is about. But the conversation about life and death has never been easy. As a society, we remain uncomfortable discussing this final journey.
According to our next guest, it's a conversation many of us need to have with our loved ones in advance of any decision-making. Amy Tucci is president and CEO of the Hospice Foundation of America, a nonprofit organization that offers end-of-life care resources for professionals, patients, and families. She's here to discuss the hospice movement and the importance of planning for a good death. Welcome to Take Care, Amy. Thanks so much for joining us on this very difficult discussion.
Thanks, Lorraine and Linda.
I wish it wasn't so difficult, and we want to talk about hospice and find out what a hospice care provides. But let's start at that uncomfortable beginning. We should be discussing end-of-life issues way before it looks like it's upon us. But most people don't want to think about their own death or the death of a loved one. So what are your suggestions of how to bring this up with people in your life so that you can talk about having a good death?
You know, it is a hard conversation, and I think one of the best ways to start the conversation is to ask, you know, to start the conversation about what's important to your loved one, what's important to you in terms of how you want to die. Some people do want to be in a hospital and to have everything done until the last breath. But actually, more people, study after study has shown that most people want to die at home surrounded by family and friends, and they want a death without pain, without a huge amount of medical intervention. And that's what hospice is all about.
What is hospice? I mean, we hear the term. Some people think it's an organization. Some people think it's approach to end of life. Some people think it's a place that you go. What is hospice and when should it begin?
Right. Hospice is really a philosophy of care. Sometimes it's a place, but more often than not, hospice care is delivered at someone's home. And hospice is a type of care that's delivered by a team of professionals. Those professionals include a physician, a nurse, a social worker, a spiritual advisor or chaplain, a bereavement counselor, home health aides, volunteers, and other therapists. It's really a team approach to care for both the individual who's receiving that care and the entire family unit that's involved in the care for the person who's sick. So it can be a place. There are inpatient hospice facilities, but the overwhelming majority of hospice care is delivered in someone's home. That word home is broadly defined. So it can be, you know, a residence, or it can be a nursing home, an assisted living facility, a long-term care facility. There are a number of places where hospice can be, you know, delivered.
It sounds like you're making the distinction that it's just not a hospital setting. So when a person gets a diagnosis or when a loved one finds out they have a terminal illness, at what point should they be finding out about hospice, and how does hospice work in terms of the time frame?
Let me go back to just one thing that you said a second ago about a hospital. Hospice care, I omitted that hospice care is also delivered in hospital settings, and that can be arranged with a hospital that has a relationship with a hospice or a hospital that may provide hospice services itself. So going to the time period and, you know, sort of a terminal diagnosis, what do we do now? often a physician will actually bring up the idea of hospice to somebody under his or her care. That's really what should be happening. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And when that doesn't happen, it's up to the patient and the family to start the conversation with the physician. Usually the time period for under the Medicare regulations for hospice is a terminal diagnosis with a prognosis of 6 months or less. That was the Medicare regulation, you know, written back in 1983. And unfortunately, it's something that I think is scary to people. I mean, if they know that they've got 6 months or less to live, it's a scary thing to think about. And what hospice really does is hospice comes in and provides care that can make life worth living. It can really free up a person who's been in the hospital or been in and out of medical treatment that's made them very ill, just the treatment itself. And it can sort of give people their lives back so they have time to spend time with family and friends, and they can do things like go to a wedding, you know, go to their son's football practice, go on a trip. Most people don't understand that hospice care doesn't mean that you're, you know, sort of stuck at home in bed. It really aims to make you comfortable and pain-free and symptom-free.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we are talking about hospice care and end-of-life issues with Amy Tucci, President and CEO of the Hospice Foundation of America. Amy, I should be frank. I have experienced hospice both with my mother's own care in my home. She came to my home to die. That's what she wanted. And I just recently went through that with my mother-in-law, who was in a hospital and decided that the extraordinary measures that were involved with her care were just not worth it. She was 90, and she had a very good death with the help of hospice. But I should also add that it's been often said that hospice, for many people, is a choice that they make too late in life. And that 6 month number makes people nervous. But I would add that my mother was given 5 to 7 months to live. She entered hospice and she actually lived longer than that time period. So people shouldn't be afraid and think it's sort of like a close-ended process. I mean, in other words, that's the diagnosis. But just because you go into hospice does not mean your life is going to end quicker.
That's absolutely true. And in some cases, people live longer when they're receiving hospice care.
Well, a lot of hospice care is palliative care, which we should explain is pain relief, because I think one of the biggest fears that we have is that we don't want to be uncomfortable. And hospice eases all of that in terms of pain management. And I also know my mother was sleeping in a regular bed and she said, I think I really need a hospital bed. I made a call to my local hospice and within 3 hours, a hospital bed was delivered to our home. So hospice is much about a lot about smoothing the path in terms of providing
Absolutely.
The best care possible.
That's right. And the 6 month criteria, like you mentioned, is really very flexible. In other words, there are some people who receive hospice care for a week or less, and there are some people that can receive hospice care for 18 months or longer. And that 6 month period can be extended repeatedly. You know, it is the gatekeeper, sort of, is the 6 month, but there's really no direct relationship to the amount of care that you can receive. Now, some people do improve so much that they actually get discharged from hospice, and we see that happen more frequently than you'd think, but that is in part, I think, because what you mentioned, the palliative care that people receive, they're free of pain, their life is much smoother than it was previously, and they're getting so much support and help that their life improves and their health improves. So if somebody is discharged from hospice, they can always go back to hospice. It's not like, you know, your time is over, you tried it once. Hospice will take you back if your health declines.
Let's talk about that aspect of palliative care. What does hospice do to keep patients comfortable. How does it work?
Well, palliative care is pain-relieving care, and that can apply to medical care throughout somebody's life. So, you know, you could receive palliative care when you go to the dentist and you're given Novocaine for a tooth to be filled. So that's sort of the idea of palliative care. Palliative care, when it applies to end-of-life care, all hospice includes palliative care. Not all palliative care includes hospice care. So if we look at what happens in hospice care, hospice clinicians are experts at palliative care techniques, which include, you know, everything from medications, pharmaceutical products that help to relieve pain, to really more comfort measures, things like aromatherapy and music therapy and pet therapy that are all used in conjunction with sort of our more standard techniques of pain relief that we use in the United States. So we'll look at everything from the pharmaceutical techniques to other more homeopathic techniques that are also very important for pain relief. Massage, for example, massage therapy is very important for some people and it can really help alleviate pain.
I think there might be a misconception that hospice is only for cancer patients, maybe because there is a diagnosis and you get to a point in a terminal illness such as cancer when you've exhausted the treatment possibilities. But I understand that hospice has been able to help people that are suffering from other diseases and ailments. Would you talk about that?
Sure. You know, when hospice first came onto the scene in the United States back in the 1970s, the majority of hospice patients were cancer patients, but that's not true anymore. Now, only about a little bit more than a third of all hospice patients are cancer patients or have a cancer diagnosis. And there's just a wide range of other illnesses and conditions that are now cared for by hospice. For example, dementia, heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, and other neurological diseases and conditions such as ALS and Parkinson's and those sorts of conditions. But actually, the fastest growing segment of hospice, if you look at the total pie, the percentage of people who are being cared for, is Alzheimer's and dementia.
Amy, we have about a minute left, but hospice does not necessarily end with the patient's passing. What does hospice offer after death to the family?
The great thing about hospice care is that it's not just for the patient, it's also for the family. And families are given more than a year of bereavement help after a death. So those bereavement services, grief counseling, grief support groups that are made possible through hospice care are available to family members for that time period. And I should also add that, you know, bereavement isn't just after a death, it's also before a death. The idea of anticipatory mourning when somebody is caring for somebody who's going to die, those feelings of loss are also there, and hospice can be there to help for that too. So both before and after a death, hospice is there for the family.
Amy Tucci is president and CEO of the Hospice Foundation of America. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For more information on hospice and Amy Tucci, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org. If you've missed a past interview or you'd like to hear one again, podcasts of our show are also available at our website and on iTunes.
Coming up, from bypass surgery to inflating a balloon, how angioplasty has opened up treatment options for many cardiac patients. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.